I'm very thankful to be here with you. Thankful the Lord's given us another camp meeting time. I want to use it to His glory and ask that you pray with us. Ask the Lord that He'd bless His word to our hearts here this morning. I'd like to share with you something that is it's essential to the life of a Christian. It's a secret from the world, I believe, to knowing God and understanding the things of God. Something that's hid from the proud of heart. I like to think about being clothed with humility. I've seen here over the last year or two, and I think it was in the news just in the last couple weeks, video clips that tend to go viral, they say, and are circulated around, of somebody that, in this case, was in a traffic stop. The officer pulls the individual over, or attempts to, and that individual thinks that they're above that. Well, the video I saw here just a few weeks ago, a little clip of it. This particular lady wouldn't pull over. The officer had to follow her, lights on, and all the way up to her home. And she got out and, "Ma'am, stop." She didn't even listen, walked right on up to the door. "Ma'am, you have to stop. I've intercepted you. I'm stopping you here." And she turned around and said, "Do you know who I am?" "Well, ma'am, it doesn't really matter who you are. You were doing whatever speed above the speed limit, and I pulled you over for that." Well, she went on to explain to him that, "I am the DA, the district attorney." And as if that was to give him pause, she tried to let that sink in for a little bit. "Ma'am, it doesn't matter if you are the district attorney. You were going X miles an hour over the speed limit." Well, that made her all the more irate. And she said, explain to him in very coarse language, "Well, you just go ahead and write me up. Just write me a ticket. Because guess what? It comes to me anyway. And I'll just excuse it. So you just go right ahead." Well, those with body cameras and things like that, it doesn't take much for that kind of exchange to be captured and to be made public. And you know, there's something of an outcry against that kind of behavior. It leaves a real distaste in people's mouth, in their mind. Who does she think that she is? It's very distasteful to people to see that kind of behavior. But you know, it's a lot easier to see pride in somebody else than to see it at work in my own life. I'd like to look at 1 Peter, the 5th chapter. Again, ask that you would join us in prayer for the Word of God. 1 Peter chapter 5. The 5th verse says, "Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility. For God resisteth the proud, and giveth grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time." Submit yourselves, it says, younger to the elder, but all of you be subject one to another. The Scriptures teach us that we're to, in honor, to prefer one another. That's a concept that's not too common in our world. You imagine how a political debate would go. If so, "Oh, you go ahead, my friend. I'd really like to hear what you have to say. Folks, listen to him. He has a lot of years of experience here, and we want to honor that. You don't hear that kind of honor and reference. We're at a time of year when a lot of commencement speeches are being given. And a lot of times in a speech like that, you'll hear you can be whatever you want to be. The world is yours. You go and conquer it. The world is yours for the taking. Rise up to the occasion, and together we'll break glass ceilings and we'll overcome obstacles and hurdles and all of that. We can do it. You can do it. But the scripture tells us in the first chapter, and I want to refer back to the passage that we've just read maybe a couple more times, but 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 24 says, "For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man is the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away. But the word of the Lord endureth forever. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you." That kind of reminder is not as often given in a commencement speech. You know what? Your life is short. The glory of man is just like the grass. It appears for a little while, and then it's gone. Or as Jesus said, "Without me ye can do nothing." All these achievements and goals and ambitions that you have, without me you can have nothing. John said, "Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world, for all that is in the world." And he listed it as the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life. It's not of the Father, but it's of the world. And the world passes away. Psalms chapter 37. Psalms 37 and verse 35. Start with the 34th. "Wait on the Lord and keep his way, and he shall exalt thee to inherit the land. When the wicked are cut off, thou shalt see it. I have seen the wicked in great power, spreading himself like a green bay tree. It seemed like nothing was held back from them. But it says he passed away. Lo, he was not. Yea, I sought him, but he could not be found." What happened to him? Just a little while down the road, he was no more. His power and exalted position, it passed away and it was gone. That's the way the glory of man is. It's like the grass that appears for a little while and then it's gone. But mark the perfect man. There's something that can abide. I want to look at a man that we're very familiar with now, found in the book of Daniel. Look at a man who spread himself as a tree. In fact, he was illustrated in vision as a tree, great and a mighty tree that rose towards the heaven. Daniel, the fourth chapter, we read about King Nebuchadnezzar of the Babylonian Empire. Begin in the 29th verse, 4 and 29 of Daniel. This was after the Lord had given a dream unto Nebuchadnezzar. He didn't understand it. If you'll recall, he called for his wise men, and he finally called for Daniel. And the Lord, through Daniel, gave the interpretation of the dream unto him, and it foretold of a falling away. But it says, "At the end of 12 months, he walked in the palace of the kingdom of Babylon. The king spake and said, Is not this great Babylon, which I have built for the house of the kingdom by the might of my power and for the honor of my majesty? While the word was in the king's mouth, there fell a voice from heaven, saying, O King Nebuchadnezzar, to thee it is spoken, the kingdom is departed from thee. Now, if you read that 30th verse, there's a whole lot of I and me and my. It's kind of like the foolish rich man that Jesus told about that had plenty. And he said, I will pull down my barns and I will build greater, and I will say unto my soul, take thine ease. And it was his vision and his focus. It wasn't about the size of his barn, but his focus was all about me and I. And that is the focus of the world so much today. But he heard a voice and said, The kingdom has been taken from you, and they shall drive thee from men, and thy dwelling shall be with the beasts of the field. They shall make thee eat grass as oxen, and seven times shall pass over thee until thou know that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men and giveth it to whomsoever he will. The same hour was the thing fulfilled unto Nebuchadnezzar. And he was driven from men and eat grass as oxen, and his body was wet with the dew of heaven, till his hairs were grown like eagle's feathers, and his nails like bird's claws. And at the end of the days, or the 7 years, I, Nebuchadnezzar, lifted up mine eyes unto heaven, and mine understanding returned unto me, and I blessed the Most High, and I praised and honored him that liveth forever, whose dominion is an everlasting dominion, and his kingdom is from generation to generation. You know what happened in Nebuchadnezzar seems like an awful curse, doesn't it? You know it was about the greatest blessing that could have happened to Nebuchadnezzar? Because so many people in our world today do just as Nebuchadnezzar did, and yet pass on right through life all the way to their end without the realization that came to Nebuchadnezzar. It's the fool that has said in his heart, there is no God. How arrogant of a position to take that I am of such infinite understanding and knowledge as to assess that there is no God. It's the fool that said that. My reason returned unto me, and for the glory of my kingdom, mine honor, my brightness returned unto me, and my counselors, my lord, sought unto me, and I was established in my kingdom. An excellent majesty added unto me. Now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and extol and honor the King of heaven, all whose works are truth and his ways judgment, and those that walk in pride he is able to abase. Remember what we read in Peter, it said, Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God. Do we see God for who he is today? Do we realize the mighty hand of God and see it at work in our lives? Humble yourselves. Folks, the Lord knows how to humble us. He knows how to bring us down. You know something about pride is you often don't recognize it. And I say that with the fear of realizing that, Lord, without your mercy and your help, there are things that I won't recognize of myself. I remember one of the places that we lived in. We had a house that had been occupied at one time and long since been given over to just storage, and mold had grown and it had a real smell of mold in it. We went in and tried to remodel it and make it livable. But you know, for as long as we owned that place, when you walked in, you could catch a faint smell of something that smelled moldy. It wasn't very pleasant. But if you were in there for more than about 5 or 10 minutes, you didn't even notice it. It smelled just fine. It smelled normal. But you could also tell somebody that had been in there. Because when they came out, they smelled like that place. And blankets or things that we had down there, you can still catch a faint smell of some of the blankets that were in that building. But you yourself, once you're in it, you couldn't tell it. You couldn't recognize that about yourself. And I believe it's that way with pride. And I know because the Lord has come along to me before when I was struggling with some things, some things that were done or some things that were said, and it hurt and I was struggling with it. And the Lord came along at pinpoint and said, Clint, you're struggling with that because you got some pride in there. And my knee-jerk reaction was, Lord, that's not pride. And there was something that rose up. Now, I didn't say it, but almost a feeling of how dare you say I'm proud. And then the realization, Lord, the very fact that I'd rise up at the thought of having pride. Lord, you got me. Lord, you nailed me. And I didn't even see it and I didn't realize it. It is the mercy of the Lord to help us to realize places about ourselves that I may not even see and understand. Oh, Nebuchadnezzar, it just seems so natural. But when we lose sight of the mighty hand of God, folks, we're going to see ourselves out of proportion. The only way we can rightly judge ourselves is when we see God for who He is. As Isaiah, whenever he saw the Lord high and lifted up, and His train that filled the temple, what was his response? Holy, holy, holy. And he fell on his face as dead. And folks, he saw God for who he was. And suddenly he saw himself for who he was. As the grass, as so frail and so helpless before God. You know, it's not that the Lord wants us to be just cowed down and live our lives in trembling and in fear. That's not what the Scriptures teach us. In fact, Isaiah, who felt so helpless, when the angel came and touched his lips with a coal from the altar, the Lord had something for that blade of grass to do. But we've got to be able to see ourselves in the right light. And before the Lord to be able to use us as He wants to. Oh, the Lord's able to abase. The Lord is able to bring down those who walk in pride. But I say, Lord, help me to humble myself before You have to humble myself before the mighty hand of God. Let's see what the Proverbs say. 16th chapter of Proverbs. The 18th verse says, pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. Better it is to be of an humble spirit with the lowly than to divide the spoil with the proud. Folks, I don't want my end to be destruction or a fall. But it says that pride and a haughty spirit is what precedes that. But think about another man in Scripture. His story is tragic, and yet somehow, I hope you understand when I say this, somehow a lot of times when I read his story, it almost makes me chuckle when I read it. And that's the story of Haman. You remember Haman and his pride? You remember what made him so angry at Mordecai? It wasn't because Mordecai had cut down the rhubarb he had growing in his garden. It wasn't because he stole his horse. He was angry at Mordecai because he expected that Mordecai should bow before him and recognize who he is. Expectations that we can have of other people, of the way that you ought to treat me. And it can go so far as to tell an officer, do you know who I am? How dare you write me a ticket? How dare you not give me some real honor? And I'm sorry, ma'am. Excuse, I hope I didn't interfere with your day. And how dare you? Well, Haman became so angry because of that. Then he set about in his heart to see the destruction of that man. Folks, pride can lend itself to envy and to anger and to just begin to eat and gnaw and consume us like a cancer until it takes over our lives. And it's what it did with Haman. He became so obsessed with himself. You remember whenever he had this scheme all laid out to be able to entrap Mordecai. But the Lord Oh, folks, when we humble ourselves before the mighty hand of God, we don't have to stand up and go picket and protest out in front of Haman's house and say you're nobody and have a, what is Occupy Wall Street. He didn't have to have an Occupy the Palace movement. Folks, when we humble ourselves before the mighty hand of God, He said He will exalt you in due time. I don't have to go try to break open the doors of the palaces. I don't have to try to defend myself and get into an argument and a fight with you over who I am. But I can commit myself unto one who judges righteously. And Mordecai, he walked humbly before his God, and God took his part. Whenever the old king was up in his bed and he couldn't sleep that night, oh, the Lord was giving the king some insomnia. He couldn't sleep, and the Lord was troubling the king, and the Lord caused the record books to be turned to exactly the right place, where it was read about how Mordecai helped spare the life of the king a long time ago. Oh, folks, do you believe in the providence of God? Do you believe in the mighty hand of God? Humble yourself, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, and He will exalt you in due time. That king asked, what's been done for this man to honor him for what he's done for me? Well, king, nothing. So as he was pondering, what thing of honor can I do for this man? In comes Haman. Oh, what timing. In comes Haman already with this thought in mind, and if I remember right, already had the gallows under construction. And he went to see the king, and the king said, hey, me first now. I've got a question. What should be done unto the man whom the king honors? You know what pride will do to you? Pride will make you say, well, who else could he be talking about but me? Pride will make you think it's all about me. Pride will make your perspective in life be all about me. Everything, it can affect us in so many areas of our lives. It can disguise itself that I don't even think it's pride. I can be so struggling with what everyone thinks, and I'm so inferior, and I'm so inadequate, and I don't know what they think about me, and what she thinks about me. You know, those kind of things can be pride in disguise. That I'm thinking about me. And what other people heard has said that many times when you wonder what people are thinking about you, chances are they're not even thinking about you. But that's why pride will tend to make me think that it's all about me. It's everybody's thinking about me, and everybody's saying things about me, and all my tunnel vision is about me and myself and I. And so it was, of course, the first thing Haman thinks about. Well, because I've sure been thinking this about myself. Well, it's about time the king decides to honor me. And boy, he laid it on. Well, king, here's what I would do. All right, I'm not the only one that laughs then. Here's what I would do to the man who the king honors. You go get your greatest horse, what was it? Have a procession through the town and have somebody go before and proclaim, this is the man that the king honors. Well said. Go get Mordecai and put him on the horse. You imagine the crestfallen look on Haman's face. And not only that, but the king says, you're going to be the man to lead the procession. You're going to be the man to say, look at the man whom the king honors. Folks, he that walketh in pride, the Lord is able to abase. He's able to bring down. But I want to get with that, the sixth chapter of Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 6 and the 16th verse. It says, these six things doth the Lord, what? That's a pretty strong word, isn't it? The Lord hates these things. Well, I want to listen to what this is. Because I sure don't want any of these things in my life if the Lord says He hates it. Yea, seven are an abomination unto Him. What's the first one listed? A proud look. These six things the Lord hates. He hates a proud look, He said. Now let's turn to the 138th chapter of Psalms. Psalms 138, verse 6. Though the Lord be high, yet hath He respect unto the lowly. But the proud He knoweth afar off. Folks, where do you want to be in relation to the Lord? I want to be close. I don't want the Lord to hold me afar off. I don't want the Lord to see me from a distance. I need the Lord. I need His grace in my life. I need the Lord to walk just side by side with me. And the Lord desires to do that. Though the Lord is high, high and lifted up, yet He has respect unto the lowly. How was it that Jesus came into the world? Folks, this whole story from cover to cover should teach us our relation unto God and to one another. Who are we before this mighty God? We are as of nothing. His thoughts and His ways are so much higher than our thoughts and our ways. He's so much greater than we are. And yet, the Lord takes pleasure in the humble. And it was not unto the kings and the chief priests and to the wealthy and to the well-known or in our modern day, the influencers of social media, those of a big name that have made a reputation for themselves, that's not who the angels came and proclaimed the blessed message that night. It came unto the lowly shepherds that were some of the lower ones in society. I don't think anyone was going and seeking the counsel of the wise men, at least not those in the palaces. Not those who were learned in the law were going to the shepherds and saying, help me understand this. But folks, those shepherds on the hillside, not pretentious, nothing to look at, nothing that their society really regarded, yet the Lord has respect unto the lowly. And it wasn't unto the palace that Mary went, it was unto the stable. And there the Son of God was born. Again, I say cover to cover, and for a reason. We are to be followers of Jesus Christ. Amen. Let this mind therefore be in you, Amen. Which was also in Christ Jesus. Folks, humility is something that we're to be clothed with. That we're to put on. It's not something that is an act. It's not just a behavior that we put on. You know, what Paul even warned about. Not being beguiled in your souls by those who have a voluntary humility. Well, what's a voluntary humility? You know, there are people who are able to put on humility and just like a light switch. Switch on it. Well, I need some humility here. Switch on the humility and I can come to you just ever so humbly acting. Folks, humility is not an act. Humility is a condition of heart that we clothe ourselves with. Our hearts changed and made like Christ. Our minds transformed and not conformed to this world, but transformed by the renewing of our minds to be like Christ. I don't believe this is something that is natural to humanity. And even what the world would call humility, again, many times, I believe pride masquerades That's humility. It's a voluntary humility. Oh, I'm nobody. And I may come along to you, so I don't know why I'm, and just run myself down, maybe hoping you'll give some compliments and counter that. Oh, no, you're not. And inside, I just, that feels good. Folks, not a voluntary humility. Not a humility that says, okay, the saints are around. You know how to get ahead among the saints? I don't know, get ahead's not the right way to say. But you know how to gain the respect of the saints? How is it? Somebody come up here and say, I want to explain to you all how many years I've been preaching the Word. And I want to tell you all the languages that I know and the depth of my understanding of Greek and Hebrew. And I, by the way, did you know I have a DD after my name? And well, I don't. That's not how you impress the saints of God or the Lord. The Lord hath respect unto the lowly of heart. Not in a voluntary humility or something that I've been around long enough that I kind of know what the saints expect to hear and to say. And so I can even frame the way I say things to sound very humble. But it goes so much deeper than that. This clothing ourselves with humility. God resisteth the proud, I believe Peter said. He resists. He holds at a distance the proud. But He giveth grace unto the humble. Folks, you know what we're talking about here today, I believe, is one of the big obstacles to following Jesus. You remember Naaman? Well, it wasn't of an understanding of Jesus in that day. You remember Naaman is such a picture, I believe, of the healing from the leprosy of sin. He was a great man, but he was a leper. And the Lord, through the servant, gave him instructions of how he could be made whole. Now, Naaman, being a great man, came with great riches and great expectations. And he came before where the prophet was, and he waited for the prophet to come out and to do something for him or over him, and he had in his mind the way that it ought to be. Pride will set expectations in our minds, and the Lord knows how to counter those. Because it's a way of the humble if you want to get to heaven. He came out and said, well, I tell you what the prophet told me. The prophet didn't even come out and bother to tell me himself. Does he not know I'm a great man? He sends his servant out to tell me. That's not what diplomats do. He sends a servant out and he said, that muddy river Jordan, go dip yourself 7 times in that. Why did the Lord choose the muddy river Jordan? You think there were cleansing powers in that muddy water? Absolutely not. But there is power in humbling ourselves before God. There is power in obedience. There is power in being willing to put off the clothing of pride and the robes of arrogance and all of that, and just getting down real low and being willing to just submit myself to the will of God. It's humbling ourselves under the mighty hand of God. He went away in a huff, a rage, and his servants began dealing with him. And now, come on, if it was something great, he had expectations around great things. You know, serving the Lord, the Scripture says, despise not the day of small things. Serving the Lord is a way that to the flesh, you kind of turn your nose at it. There's not much about living for the Lord that'll really gratify the flesh. That'll really build up an ego. But as he was finally willing to humble himself, folks, he came up as clean as a baby's skin. And I believe that if we're to follow the Lord, folks, there's still the same way that we have to come. We have to be willing to humble myself and my ways and my esteem of my opinions and my who I am and my way, and be willing to just throw it all down and humble myself before the Lord and say, Lord, I count myself as nothing before you. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Folks, the rich in spirit, not just in worldly goods, that too, but when it affects our spirit, whenever we fail to understand our great need of God, whenever we fail to see how bankrupt we are without God, we're not going to receive anything of the Lord. And yet, the enemy works through pride. He always has, and he always will. And just as it looked ugly to people what that district attorney did, you know, pride is ugly. And you know, religious pride is one of the ugliest flavors. Luke, the 18th chapter. Luke chapter 18, and the beginning in the 10th verse. Two men went up into the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee, the other a publican. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. I fast twice in the week. I give tithes of all that I possess. And the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For every one that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. So where do we want to end up? Folks, in the kingdom of God, if you want to go up, you got to go down. Humble yourself before the mighty hand of God. We can try to exalt ourselves and make of ourselves a reputation, and there are many mediums through which to do that today. Social media platforms in which I can try to craft the image of myself that people see. But the Lord has regard unto the humble. Scripture says, I write unto you that you not, for every man not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think. Well, the question that comes to my mind then is, well, how high should I think of myself? Because again, the Lord doesn't want us to be so cowed down and that I just don't have any confidence. And, well, Lord, I want to work for you, but I just can't. I can't do anything. I can't say anything. And when Moses tried that, it didn't get him very far. Folks, the Lord wants us to realize the balance of without Him, I can do nothing. But through Christ, I can do all things. He is my sufficiency. My sufficiency is not of myself. It's not of my abilities and my talents and my skills and the what people think about me and all. My sufficiency is of the Lord. That's why we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the glory may be of God and not of us. Be clothed with humility. You ever see somebody working in a butcher shop wearing some silver-colored gloves? It's to protect your hands against cuts. You know, being clothed with humility is PPE, personal protective equipment. It protects us against offense. It protects us against hurts. The same way that it would have protected old Haman. It hurts so deeply because I have an expectation of the way other people ought to treat me. Because I have a high esteem of who I am and the way people should regard me. And because of that, if you don't come speak to me, if you don't give me the proper level of respect and honor, folks, we're to treat one another with love and honor and preferring one another. But I want us to realize the way this monster pride is, it can't be fed enough. Praise and honor and accolades, it's insatiable. But when we can find our sufficiency in the Lord, When we can find our worth in the Lord. When we can realize, I remember one time I'd gone overseas to work for the Lord of all things. I'd gone overseas and I was in a battle of my life, it seemed like. Lord, what is this? I felt so weighed down. I felt so feelings of depression just closing in on me. And it seemed like I couldn't hardly pray and I couldn't hardly look into the Scripture and I couldn't hardly get inspiration. And all these feelings and these thoughts, they don't want you over here anyway. They don't care what you have to say. And it was really weighing me down. And I remember as I was laying on my bed there and I was trying to pray, and it seemed like the Lord inspired me. That's the enemy. And I don't negotiate with the devil. But I told him, you're right. I can't do anything. They don't want to hear me. But I can do all things through the Lord. And they want to hear what the Lord has to say. And folks, the Lord broke something there. He broke a power of darkness there. Whenever we realize it's not in myself, it's not in my abilities, it disarms the enemy. The enemy wants to work through pride, through little veins that he can try to work in that maybe I wouldn't even identify. But I'm going to tell you, there's some protective clothing. Because it is impossible but that offenses shall come. It's going to happen. And he didn't say that to condone offenses, because he dealt very firmly with that. Woe to the man by whom they come. But offenses are going to come, he said. So do you have your PPE on? Do you have your protective clothing on? Be clothed with humility. You know, the Scripture says, only by pride cometh contention. Cast out the scorner, I believe it says, in another place, and contention shall cease. But it's only by pride. Folks, that applies to marriages. I remember Brother Philip Gillenbeck saying one time, as he was given some teaching. I don't even remember what specifically he was teaching on, but I remember he said, folks, one way to fight the devil in this area is to use the H-bomb on him. The H-bomb? Humility. Folks, there is such power in humility. And whenever we utilize the humility that the Lord has given us, and I don't know if you've been married very long, but if maybe you can identify with this. Little places of maybe some contention or tension or some strife. And you know how humility, when I'm willing to just say, you know what, I'm sorry. No strings attached, I'm sorry. You know how quickly that can just dissolve that thing. You know how quickly that can just cause those bars to just start to melt. Only by pride comes contention. So if I'm always surrounded by contention, contention in the workplace, contention in the family, contention in the congregation, everywhere I go, just contention. Oh Lord, search me. Because somehow there's pride everywhere I go, because only by pride cometh contention. You know, humility is about more than using a soft tone of voice. Humility is about a condition of heart that'll allow me to be easily entreated. Remember one man telling me one time, said, Clint, I'm one of the most humble men I know. Folks, it kind of raised a flag in my mind. I don't think it needs much explanation. Folks, I want the Lord to be able to draw me close. I want the Lord to look on me and not to smell like the smell of that old house that had the mold. I don't want the Lord to smell something that reeks of pride.
I don't want that for me. I don't want that for us as a people. I want the Lord to draw us close as a people. Because my sufficiency isn't enough. And if I begin to rely on my own sufficiency, the Lord will allow me to get into a place that He just might say, "All right, use your sufficiency then." And I'll find how vastly insufficient it really is. But those that humble themselves, the Lord gives grace unto the humble. I'd like to close in the 57th chapter of Isaiah. Isaiah 57 and 15. Thus saith the high and lofty one that inhabiteth eternity, whose name is holy, I dwell in the high and holy place with him also that is of a contrite and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble, to revive the heart of the contrite ones. Oh Lord, help us to be in this category. For the God of heaven to be willing to say, "I'm going to dwell with him. I want to walk with him." I wonder if we could stand and sing that song, "Humble Thyself to Walk with God." Just as the stream finds a bed that is lowly. Oh, folks, the Lord will dwell. We'll sing it in a moment. Lord, help us to be as that stream that is willing to take the low path. Again, it's not because I try to attach to myself some humble behavior, but when I really see God for who He is, I'll see myself for who I am. You pray for me. Amen.